Blog Talk Radio.
I just happened to look under the TV, and there is a layer of dust on there that I could probably do finger painting in. Gross!
Sigils!
Gross.
Sigils! Yeah. Make anyway, magic out of it.
Oh, that's true. I've got Laura Zakroff's book on sigil witchery, which...
Ooh.
Hello. Yeah, man, it's good. It's good. It's what else
I
is good? I know you do. Not only is that good, but at the same time I got that book, I picked up a book called Traditional Wicca by tonight's guest, the amazing Thorn Mooney. Yeah, oh, I can't wait to talk to this woman. Hello. Anyway, so let me start the show the way I normally do. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Desperate House Witches. If you're new, we're happy to have you. If you're not new, we're still happy to have you. I'm just glad to have you. Anyway, Desperate House Witches is not a G, PG, or even an R-rated show. So, if bad language, bodily functions, dirty talk of any kind are going to offend you, you may not want to stick around. But if you do... we're glad to have you once again. Desperate House Witches is also brought to you by the amazing one, the wicked one, the incredible Dorothy Morrison and Wicked Witch Studios. Check out wickedwitchstudios.com for the witch of discriminating taste to get your magical goods. And if you need international shipping, you can purchase her products through The Angry Cauldron at www.theangrycauldron.com. All right. So, as I was saying before we went on the air, while I can't find the Penguin batteries anymore, we're talking about vaping supplies, by the way. I have not seen the Penguin batteries, I'm pretty sure they still have the Dolphin. And I think the Dolphin batteries are about $18 now. So
that's not bad.
No, not at all. So you should be able to put it together with all of my stuff and have yourself a real good vape time.
Yay!
So you need to definitely come over and get this shit. Because I just put a bag together and you're going to laugh. Oh, boy. I don't know if you ever had a problem with the cartridge not clicking into the battery. I don't know if it's a function you have. Okay, because like I said, I have three batteries. They all function, but two of them do not snap in like they used to. But I don't know if you can still use them. One of them does snap in because it was pretty much brand new. I think I used it for a week before I went on to another device. Because, you know, I go through vape devices like I go through pantyhose. Which actually that's not even accurate because I haven't worn pantyhose in probably 10 years. It's been a long time. No, thank you. So anyway,
I generally don't wear heels, so I was saying I generally don't wear anything that warrants pantyhose.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nah. Now I wear boots and socks, and that's basically it for the winter. But
boots
I got to tell you.
Boots and socks.
Let me tell you what magical thing my car did today. Yeah. Now, I have to say, there is a spell on my car. It's got some kind of amazing magical energy. My car's name is Gaia, for those who don't know. Gaia has gotten me out of a lot of scrapes. She darts around. Sometimes I step on the gas and she refuses to go because someone's crossing the street and I haven't seen them. I mean, interesting, lots of weird, interesting shit has happened in this car. So today, I go out to my car and I unlock it and I go to open the door and I pull on the handle. It won't open. And I'm like, what the hell? Did somebody crazy glue it shut or what? You know, it was fine this morning. What's the sitch? So I'm trying and I'm trying. There's nothing happening. I can't get in the side. So I'm like, fine. I go around the other side. Door opens fine. Crawl across the seat. Pop it from the inside. Not a problem. Door opens. So I get in the car, and I close the door behind me, and I go to open it, and it opens like nothing. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. So
that's weird.
I pull out of the parking lot, and I'm heading towards the interstate, and I see these cars that are trying to cross the road. And they're just kind of sitting there. And they're out there, like, so precariously that you could hit them at any time. Like, I'm amazed that at least one of these cars did not get hit. And, you know, I have the distinct feeling that the car was protecting me from a potential accident. Because I get out of the car when I get home, and I close the door behind me, I lock the door behind me, and then I'm like, okay, let's see if it's going to, you know, what's going to happen now. Because, you know, when something sticks, it usually on a car stays stuck.
Yeah.
I unlock it. I open the car door like nothing ever happened. I'm like, what were you protecting me from? That is
right?
Some crazy magical shit. I'm like, but this car does things like that all the damn time. Very weird, but very cool. So I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy you're here.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Thank
to
you,
be
Gaia.
Here. Thank you, Gaia. So, yeah, that was pretty interesting. But aside from that, this weather change, man, my toes are so cold right now. You have no idea. Charlotte in the winter. Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, yeah, and I'm tired a lot with the lack of sunlight. Oh,
yeah.
It's sick. It's dark so early now, and it just seems like a couple of weeks ago that it was light out later. And I know it's been longer than that, but shit. I miss my sunshine. I really do.
I'll come visit you tomorrow.
Okay, my sunshine. Gotta love it.
Well,
yeah,
now
so
I interject
week,
myself in there.
That's all right with me. So next week we're off for the post-Thanksgiving holiday. So
yay.
Maybe we'll throw a little something up on the listening board, one of our old shows. And then when we come back, we will be joined by the amazing Byron Ballard. So
yay.
That's going to be fun. Yay!
She's
so
awesome.
Yep. So that's going to be fun. And, yeah, but tonight's guest, man, I met her a month ago, and she's pretty amazing. You know how you just kind of get the vibe from people, what they're about, just when you meet them? Yeah,
definitely.
She's cool. She's very cool, so I'm really excited. Really excited.
I'm looking forward to meeting
her. Oh, yeah, she's great. She's fucking amazing. I liked her instantly. I liked Laura Zakroff, too. She's pretty amazing as well. Very, Very cool. It's very nice. It's really great when you meet nice people.
Yeah.
It can be a rarity these days, but yeah, no, they were both very groovy. So I'm super stoked. So my week consisted of aggravation, doctor visits, and aggravation. Because, you know, I'm an old witch now. And when you get to be an old anything, parts start to break down and fall off. Fortunately, I'm still intact. Doctor says everything looks good, so hopefully I'll be around for a while longer. You know, those yearly checkups, man. Woo! And
yeah, I got mine Monday.
Yeah, I did not know this, but I walked into my doctor invited me into his office, you know. And
about I'm kidding.
Oh, not with somebody else's pussy. I mean, he's a great guy, but please, there's a limit.
Yeah.
he's not been in his office before, but I did not notice the amount of Christian paraphernalia that was laying around until yesterday. Oh, yeah. And he's constantly questioning me about my jewelry. Oh, I like that ring. Oh, what's that ring mean? Oh, I'm like, dude, if only you saw the tattoos on my back, you wouldn't even have to ask these questions. Because he never sees my back. You know, he's all up in the front of me and whatnot. And I'm wearing the robe that now comes with a tie on it, which I thought was pretty stellar. I felt like Wonder Woman in this blue plastic robe. I was like, Wonder Woman. Because it gives you broad shoulders and, you know, you feel very Amazonian in these particular robes that he has. I'm like, I think I want to steal one, but nah, it's way too cheesy. So, yeah,
we'll have to
I'm
make
looking
one
around.
Out of fabric.
Yeah, right? With stiff shoulders,
yeah.
I'll look like something out of the 80s. No, thank you. But, no, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But it's like, good God, if he ever got me to turn over and took a look, he would be quite surprised at what he would be reading. So, I don't know. But we get along fine. I just had not noticed how Christianed out his office is. I'm like, wow, cross in the corner, Lord's Prayer. I'm like, okay, I'm not even going to ask him any questions. I'm just going to sit there and smile.
There you go.
So
not my circus, not my monkeys.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you know what I would love? And I don't know where to find these people. But I would like to see a pagan doctor. Where do we get pagan doctors around here? There's got to be some. Somewhere.
I'm sure there are actually plenty. You know, it's just we can't afford to be as out as, you know, we're not as accepted. I mean, to put it bluntly. You know, I think it's hard for people to kind of let their hair down at the office because, you know, fear of judgment or retribution. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I understand that. But, I mean, like tonight's guest is a teacher in addition to being a writer. So it doesn't seem like she hides this information. I'm going to have to ask her about all this information. Like, can you be out down here, you know, as a public person and still have, you know, a job like that? I mean, I'm just really interested to know how that works out. You know, now educators, I expect educators to be, you know, freer because they're educators.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. So it's something I'm curious about, you know. I would love to find a pagan doctor to go to. I think that would be great. I'm very into supporting our own, you know.
Yeah, it's
an interesting thing. You know, they've got to be out there, like you said. It's just a question of finding them, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, to live yourself. just living in the South like we do.
Living the dream.
Shaw. It's somebody's dream. I'm not sure it's my dream, but it's somebody's dream.
Yeah.
But, you know, how was your week?
Busy. Yeah, it was actually, I mean, we were still busy today, but it was somewhat slow. You know, like, we didn't have a constant stream of people. They would, you know, they show up in groups, which I always find amusing. It's like, do you guys coordinate before you come here and figure, okay, this is the exact time? No, because I shit you not. I will be standing there, and as soon as I open another bag to process, three cars pull in. Like, one, bam, 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 right next to each other, and then they're, like, kind of racing each other to get in the door.
Wow.
It's amusing to watch, to be honest with you. It's like, all right, who's in the lead? Who can get their bag out of the back of the car faster? That one can't find their ticket. Funny enough, you don't need your ticket.
Are you out?
No. As long as you have your name, you know, that's all I have to do. That's all I do with the ticket anyway. You know, it's mostly for the customers to know when to come pick up, you know. But I tell people all the time, I know at least two or three customers several times, as long as you have your last name and your first name, I'm good. You don't need your ticket. Don't worry about having to find it. Don't go rummaging through your car or your purse. It's just give you your name. You're fine. And they still do it. Like, okay.
Well, you know, we kind of are so conditioned to having to have your ticket. Like, the shoe repair guy, if you don't have your ticket, he doesn't even know where to start looking.
Really?
I mean, oh, yeah. I guard that ticket like it's the winning lottery numbers. I'm telling you. Because if you don't find that ticket, you are not getting your damn shoes. It's that simple.
Yeah, that's not
good. You okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
There's bones in the air.
Ew?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. I guess I can see that, you know, if other places condition them to have to have that, then, you know, they automatically think, regardless of how many times you tell them you don't, you know, oh, I got to get that ticket. I got to get that ticket. I need the proof to get my stuff. And it's like, it's okay. You're cool here. We trust you.
That's funny as hell.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, it was... Oh, and I was telling you earlier that I got my biometric screening done yesterday. The blood pressure is a little high, but everything else is fantastic. I was like, I found out yesterday I have the same waist size as my 12-year-old son. So I'm like, yes! I have the waist of a 12-year-old. Not that that means anything, but...
Well, I mean, but you also have to be honest. He's not exactly a small 12-year-old.
Oh, yeah, no. He's a big boy. He is the same size that I am at this point. He's like, I think, maybe a quarter inch off of me. Yeah, by Christmas, he'll be as tall, if not taller, than me.
You think?
Oh, yeah. I could wear his shoes by the time he was 8. You know, so his little puppy paws are like, bigger than mine. They're almost daddy size now.
He's adorable. He's grown so much, and he's such a cutie. And I have to tell you, he is the spitting image of his father.
Yes, he is. He's got my eyes, but he looks like his daddy.
Oh,
got those dimples. I never got dimples.
Yeah, he's definitely got the dimples. There is no... Boy, when he smiled Saturday, I was like, yeah, there's no denying where that one came from.
Yeah, and then the older one looks just like me. He's even got the blonde hair now. You haven't seen him in a while.
No.
But his hair is long and blonde. I'm like,
cool.
All right. I gave birth to Jesus.
Wow.
But yeah, he is super tall. Super duper tall.
Crazy. Oh, yeah. He towered over me before he hit puberty.
Yeah, and he's, I think, 6'5 now.
Good.
6'5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, you need to stop. Because he's only 21. He's not done growing.
No. But he's pretty close, I would think.
Yeah, I hope so for his sake. Otherwise, he's not going to be able to fit in anywhere.
Poor thing.
Yeah, I see, how my father-in-law, because he's a tall man as well.
Oh, he sure
and
is.
He struggled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Yep,
funny.
You're going to have two extra talls.
Yep. All these tall men and tiny women.
I know, because we're short shits. We're little shrimp toasts.
Yep.
It's kind of funny. All right, before our guest comes on, I want to send out some love to our friends in California who are suffering so badly. I mean, they can't breathe, literally. They have to wear masks. And they have to change their masks every 8 hours. I cannot imagine. And the pictures, man, the pictures look like the end of the world. It's what you imagine Armageddon would look like. The sky is orange-red all the time. And the air is thick. And I just feel so horrible for all of my friends. It's and everybody else, for that matter. It's just so scary, and I hope they get some kind of rain. I mean, California has been under a drought for like 4 or 5 years now, and everything turns into kindling when it doesn't get enough water. So I'm lighting candles and saying good words, and man, I just hope it ends well for everybody else. I mean, we have friends that lost everything. Their homes are ashes. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, we're glad everybody is alive, that we know, but very frightening. Very frightening.
Yeah. Definitely. And the wildlife as well. That was one of the reasons I never moved back to Southern California, because there literally is, starting in October, fire season, and it's only, it's aggravated by the Santa Ana winds, which come through and they stay sometimes for a week, maybe 2 weeks, and it literally drives people nuts. It's not like, a breeze. It's just, you get dust devils and stuff. It's blowing this way 1 second, and then it's blowing completely the opposite way the next second, and it does not help when, something sets alight. It just goes. It feeds it like a monster. It's sad. It's really sad.
Yeah, when I lived in Nevada, we used to get winds like that, and it was insane. But it was also a lot like you know, living in the desert is a lot like living on Mars for someone who's used to the East. I mean, if you're used to the East Coast and you're used to lots of trees and vegetation and humidity, man, being out there in the desert is a totally different world. Woo! Not something I could get used to. It was rough for me. It was really rough. I had to come back. I could not deal.
I was always more of a fan of the mountains and the beach, and you know, tried to stay away from the desert type areas. Even though, I mean, we were in the desert. Technically, all of Southern California is a desert. You know. But there were certain areas, like, you know, Lytle Creek was still fairly wild by the time I left, but it was somewhat mountainous. It wasn't exactly desert. But over, I think it was in Fontana, like between Fontana and Rialto, unless they built that up, like on the way to Lytle Creek, you really hit the desert. Kind of nice to visit, but I never wanted to live there. I was like, nah, I'm good with the yard.
What is Sacramento considered? Is that considered Southern Cal? I don't know enough about geography, obviously.
No, that is definitely Northern California. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Sacramento is above San Francisco. Let me see.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not sure if it's just below San Francisco or, because it's up by, let's see, Rancho Cordova. I'm looking at a map now. You think,
I never got my geography lesson.
Yeah, I never got up to Northern California, so let's see. Yeah, it's above San Francisco. And further inland. Yeah, it's closer to the national forest.
I never got to Southern California, but I did get to Northern California.
Yeah, it's really nice up there.
You know what it reminds me of? Driving through Sacramento was like being on Long Island. So it was kind of this all looks familiar, except they have palm trees. How nice.
Palm trees and eucalyptus.
There you go. It's very nice. Reminiscent of how I grew up.
Yeah, I do genuinely miss, like, eucalyptus trees. God, walking past those and smelling them, oh, they were amazing. That and orange blossoms in the spring. Yeah, because the last place I lived in California, we had an orange grove right behind us. It was amazing. Be like, you know, take the dog for a walk, just go pick a couple oranges off the tree.
Aww.
Yeah. Statute of limitations. You can't arrest me now. So.
You're hilarious.
I don't know if that was thievery or not. never catch me.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I tell you what, our guest is in the queue. You ready to bring her on?
Hell yeah!
All right. Let me unmute her real quick. Hello.
Hello.
That's my sister, the queen of the unmute. Thorn!
It's nice to talk to you guys.
Hey, it's so nice to talk to you, too.
I have been looking forward to this since I met you.
Me, too.
Oh, wow.
No, I was
so, I just,
so surprised
just
to
started,
find that you were in my area.
I know. I was shocked and delighted, I have to say.
Yes.
So, Thorn has written a book called Traditional Wicca, A Seeker's Guide. And I have to tell you, I started digging into this book, and I like your style. I really do.
Thank you.
I mean, obviously, when you're going to be a public person, you have to have a certain level of ego. But it's ego without being a dick. Do you know what I mean?
That's what I want on my tombstone someday.
She had an ego, but she wasn't a dick about it. I love that.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really difficult because I'm naturally very introverted, and it's strange.
Really?
Kind of. Oh yeah, I'm really, really introverted. It's why you can't get in touch with me on Facebook when you should be able to.
Because
I'm just
it's
because I see full inboxes and I'm just like, oh, I should go to bed.
Yeah. Oh,
I am right there with you.
Yeah. I'm kind of terrible, actually. So, messaging, it's all like, I'm all just like, oh, people, where it's.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I was just going to confirm. I'm the same way. I don't even have the app for either of the Facebook things, so I can't check my messages half the time unless I get on the computer. It's like, if you want me, you need to email me or text me.
Yeah, I'm good at Instagram.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
not a lot of apps.
I'm going to have to remember that you're an Insta person, because I never get on Instagram. Insta person. Well, I never get on Instagram, and I'm going to have to, because a lot of people I really dig are on Instagram. So
It's like Facebook or Twitter, but there's less room to be a jackass, because you're just using pictures.
Yes.
I like that. Oh, wow. So that's how you avoid the assholes. Okay, now I know the secret.
Well, they're there, but they don't use their words for the most part.
Oh, that's hilarious. So before you came on, I actually have a question for you.
Please.
And it's about, because you're very public about being a teacher.
Yeah.
And wondering how that translates down here with being Wiccan. I mean, do they know? Is die to or?
So when I first took the job with the district here in Charlotte, I did have one teacher. I don't remember what I was wearing. I really don't wear pentacle jewelry very often. Outside of ritual spaces, mostly because I'm too lazy to have that conversation. But I don't know what I was wearing. But anyway, one of the veteran teachers noticed, and I guess he was kind of a hippie or something. He had like a yin-yang pendant, so I guess we were in some kind of boat together. And he made some comment about how I might want to be careful who saw that, because I was in the South now. And I looked at him and I said, I've been in the South for like 15 years. I'm good. Like, it's fine. And I assured him I would be okay. So he was just expressing worry, but I've never had any kind of issue. I've never had any kind of anything. And I think it's because religion never comes up. I don't know. It's just, I mean, the Christian teachers, every now and then you'll see Christian jewelry and, you know, Merry Christmas and whatever, but really religion is a non-issue for the most part in the classroom. The funniest thing is interacting with the students, because students are pretty savvy for the most part. And they definitely know that there's something weird about me. And I get way too excited when we read the Crucible and I'm going on about like the Salem witch hunts. I just get too enthused, right? Like it's little things. And every semester I have at least one Wiccan student, And it's always adorable because I can never say anything. I don't talk about religion with the kids at all. Right. And my very first semester, I had a young man who was Wiccan, and he wore a big pentagram necklace. And I always start off the kids with having them write memoirs just so I can kind of get a sense of what their writing is. I'm an English teacher. And pretty much everybody's willing to write about themselves. So it's a pretty easy assignment, and I get to kind of assess them without giving them a test. And I had one boy, he handwrites his page about himself, and he tosses it on my desk, and there's pentagrams drawn in the margin, and he says, "Just so you know, I'm Wiccan, and that means that I'm a witch, but I don't worship the devil, and if you have any problems with that, you just let me know, because my dad will come and talk to you, and we believe in harming none. And just so you know, it is a recognized religion." He kind of gives me this spiel, and I'm like, don't laugh.
Yeah, right? Aww.
Right? Like, I have an amazing poker face.
I don't.
So that's the funniest thing about being a teacher, is having pagan and Wiccan kids come through.
Yeah.
Who basically like witch-splain at me, and I let them. And it's really sweet, and I can't wait until they graduate and learn more stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's adorable.
But I've never had a problem from colleagues or administrators. I feel safe at work, so yeah.
That's awesome.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could say the same. Now, they know I'm not Christian, because the people I work with will just come right out and ask you. And I'm like,
"Oh, you got
some nope. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a company that's been around for a really super long time. And the people who work there, I mean, I'm one of the young ones at having worked there 13 years. So you can only imagine. A lot of these folks have been there 30 years plus. And it's like, we know she's different, but we don't know how different. Some people, I think, pretty much know, because, you know, I've explained the fact that what I believe is a lot older than what you believe. And we kind of leave it at that. So, you know, that seems to have gotten by for a really long time. And I think they're kind of afraid to ask. But my reputation kind of exceeds any of the problems that I would normally have. But like, let's say if I had just arrived in the last year or two. So these are people who have known me over a decade, and they know my character. And, you know, I always believed that, because I was Wiccan, you know, I would have to have a reputation that almost exceeded, like, because you're a woman, you work harder. Well, because I was a woman and Wiccan, I worked even harder still.
Mm-hmm.
So that when it does come out in a real sense, you know, where it's like I say the actual words, that, you know, these people will have already have made up their mind about me, and it's cool.
Yeah.
I've always
been
known
as...
Yeah, I think
that's the way to do it. I mean, and most of the time, generally speaking, I don't feel like religion is ever an appropriate topic at work. So I think we should all kind of shut up unless it's absolutely necessary.
Right. But, you know,
politics
and religion are always a topic where I am, because of the nature of how small it is. And people do get into each other's business in a regular way, you know. So I'm thrilled to know that you can be publicly Wiccan in the school system. That's very cool.
Yeah, and so I wanted to be open about being a teacher, just because it's kind of like what you guys were talking about earlier with Wiccan doctors. I think we have this idea that our kind of public people, like doctors and lawyers and teachers and police and whoever else who has to interact with the public, we have this idea that, like, we don't have pagans out there, and we totally do.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. By the way, one of my good friends who is pagan was just accepted to med school. So very soon there will be at least one pagan doctor.
Congratulations.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So,
that's awesome. Proud of you.
I want to support, you know, because I think it's really important to support fellow pagans.
Yeah,
you know, and it's really hard to like say, well, you know, you can't just look them up in the directory.
Yeah.
Let's see, doctor, pagan doctor, you know, it's not generally something that's out there in the public, and it kind of makes it difficult when you want to support, you know, people that are like-minded, you know, it would just help.
Yeah.
We need some kind of secret code or something.
So just so you know, because you're local, I'm telling you this, there is a Facebook group for charlatans to advertise their pagan, you know, pagan, not pagan services, but pagans who offer services. If you're a plumber or you're an electrician or whatever, I will give you that contact information later. There is a secret Facebook group. I don't think it's secret. But, yeah, that way if you need somebody to, like, put a new roof on your house or, you know, give therapy to your child or whatever, you can advertise in pagan spaces for that. It was made by a friend of mine, Sinaloa. And, yeah, so that's a resource that we have. I think North Carolina is a good place to be pagan right now. We actually have a lot. And the South generally is a good place to be pagan. I think we got some bad press to get over, but I think there's a lot of people, like Mystic South is a great example. There's a lot of people working really hard to make the South pagan friendly.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people are too afraid to get out there, and which again is why I'm public. Like, I'm a school teacher and I'm pagan AF. So as the kids say.
I love it.
You can say the actual thing here.
The actual thing, I don't think, is part of the slang, though. I think it's supposed to be AS. I don't know. I'm not cool. My kids will tell you that. I'm not cool.
Oh, no. We think you're cool. Speaking. and somebody left a message for you on our page. Monica Neal Peterson. She said, it's great being able to hear your voice, Thorn. Miss you, love.
Hi, Monica. Call me.
Hi, Monica.
Hi, Monica. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. I need to take a field trip.
Oh my goodness.
Where's she at?
You know,
she's in the New England area.
Okay.
I was just in New England for the first time in my life. I was it's not cool. Trust me. I was at the Logan Airport in Boston. Right. Like, so that's my experience of New England. And it's fine. And then I got picked up by some friends and we drove a couple of hours to, I don't know, what's the state north of Massachusetts? This is my bad geography.
Forget
New
it.
New Hampshire, I think. You're right. It's New Hampshire.
Yes. So I was in New Hampshire for Templefest, which is Christopher Penzack's group's their annual event. So that was my first, and that was amazing. So I got to see a field and a campground, and it was very lovely. But, you know, I have this fantasy about New England because you read about Salem and you read about, like, I don't know, just every sitcom you watch that takes place in the U.S. has, like, beautiful leaves that change colors, and like everything is set in New England. So I have this kind of fantasy about how it works. So I imagine my friend Monica, like with her four seasons and like a couple of hours to Boston and whatever, and very fancy. And I kind of don't appreciate the South sometimes, but I really should. Anyway, that's my story.
it's different.
Went to Boston. As the native New Yorker, I got to tell you, it's decidedly different.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. But it's got good points. It does. It's got, you know, nice people sometimes and beautiful weather a lot of the time. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's a slower pace, and I'm a slower pagan now, so it kind of suits
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
You hit a certain age, and it's like, oh, I can't do everything on 12 anymore.
Yeah.
So, about your book.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
I wrote it.
I love her.
I told you. But what made you write the book?
A couple of things. Part of it was selfish. Part of it was, as a coven leader, you get a lot of emails, and 90% of them are dumb. And it's not that people are dumb. It's that people don't know what to ask or what to say or what. Okay, how about this? I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but like on social media, this is a thing that happens to women. You will get random hellos from dudes.
Yep.
Does this happen to
yeah.
you ladies? Right? And it's always
oh, yeah.
one. It's always just like some dude you've never seen, and it's just, hey, like, what do I do with
yeah.
that? Okay. Those are like my seeker messages that I get. I get messages from people, and it's the Wiccan equivalent of, hey, right? And then usually it's followed
yeah.
up with something like, you know, make me a witch, or I want to be a gardenerian, or let me into your coven, or something asinine.
Yeah.
And I got tired of that. And even the emails that would be kind of decent were from people who you just wanted to be like, look, you need to go read these books, or like do some, I don't know, something to get yourself together, and then email me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was realizing was, hey, we've been recommending the same books for like 40 years, 50 years.
Yeah.
60
true.
In some
yeah.
cases. And
mm-hmm.
let's be real, nobody's actually reading them. Like,
that's true.
They'll read it eventually. But can you imagine like some bubbly like 17 or 18 year old baby witch comes up to you? Are you really going to recommend Witchcraft Today by Gerald Gardner? Right? Like they're
no.
not going to read that.
Yeah.
They're just objectively not. So I wanted something that was current and accessible, that I could trust that people would actually read.
Yep.
To spare myself bad emails. That's mostly what I
want. Gotcha.
That's kind of
genius.
Cynical. I wanted our tradition has a reputation for being really stodgy, like just traditional Wicca broadly, Gardnerians and Alexandrians
oh,
in
shit.
Particular, but really all of us, like we're supposed to
yeah.
be kind of like curmudgeon-y old hard asses who hate everything.
Yeah.
And that just objectively isn't true anymore, or if it ever was, I don't know, at least not since I was on America Online in the mid-90s when everybody definitely was an asshole.
Yes.
Yeah, but I wanted to bring it into a new space where we could have a voice, especially in this particular climate where it's great that we have so many different kinds of witches who are out there and writing and being public, but it's really trendy right now to bash Wicca as being like shallow or like not real witchcraft or whatever. And I wanted our tradition to have a voice.
Yeah.
Which I'm very appreciative of. Thank you.
So that's what I wanted.
Because you have no idea of how many conversations I've had where people are like, ugh, you're a gardenerian. Ugh.
Right.
And I was once told that being Gardnerian was likened to being the GOP. And I'm like,
right.
Whoa.
Yeah, we're like the Republicans of the pagan world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. And I've heard it from, you know, some pretty cool people that I like. That, and it made me go, ah, damn it. No.
Oh, yeah. No, it makes me kind of sad.
Yeah. I found it very upsetting. And it's like, well, I mean, if that's the price I have to pay for being, you know, I mean, my mentor said, He didn't. He said we're gardenerian, but we're really gardenias. You know, it was a very loose translation of gardenerianism, and I'm like, yeah, but I like being part of that. You know, that's how I was raised. You know, so it's kind of like, I don't know. I'm cool with that. I'm sorry so many people are not. And when I found you, I was like, damn. This is awesome. I'm very excited to know this person. So,
yay.
Yeah, the book is great. Yeah. The book is great.
Nice. Well,
I've not finished
especially
it,
with,
but I love it.
Good. I was going to say, especially with all the conversations that are happening right now about inclusivity in Wicca and conversations surrounding racism and sexism and all of these things that are really at the forefront still and continue to be. You know, like, we can't be relying on stuff that was written in the 70s and 80s. We just can't.
Okay? Yeah, like, you're absolutely right.
It's true.
So, yeah, I'm hoping it'll be a space for other people to write. And I don't know, like, I hope it's not just me out there, you know, writing from a traditional Wiccan perspective. And there are lots of good traditional Wiccan authors out there. Jason Mankey pops to mind immediately. He's got a book coming out that I'm really pumped about. Yeah. So like there's lots of like young trad Wiccan writers and artists and anyway, I just that reputation that we earned ourselves in the 80s and 90s just doesn't hold anymore.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
And yes, Jason's going to be our guest next month, so I'm excited to have him on too. Yeah. So
can I call and harass him or write messages on your board, bother him?
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
I just so nice to have, you know, because for the longest time it was, you know, everybody referenced the older books, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the older books. I have but it's really nice to see younger people like yourself thinking about the, you know, Wiccan traditional. It's really cool and makes me feel good that, you know, there are cool people doing it and maybe changing the negative reputation that it had developed. So I found it very exciting to, like, you know, meet you and get your book and, like, talk to you. I'm like, oh, this is
yay!
Awesome. Yeah,
yay!
Definitely. So I have to ask, and forgive me for not knowing, but have you written other books or was this your first?
So this was my first book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on a second one right now. And I've been blogging for a long time. Like, I've always been a writer. That's kind of what people always thought I would do growing up when I was younger. Like, you know, when I was a little kid in school, like, that's what I was always doing. I always had notebooks around me, and I've always collected pens and that kind of stuff. And
I love pens.
It took me, oh, my God, don't even get me started on pens. Holy crap.
Oh, no.
But Jesus, Mother God. I don't know why it took me a long time. Like, I knew I wanted to be a writer, and I knew I wanted to write about Wicca, and I knew that I wanted to write books someday. And there was a moment when I was a very, like, sort of self-important 19-year-old where I was like, well, I'm going to write a book, right? Like, this was when, do you remember Guinevere Rain? She wrote the Teen Witches spell book in 2000 or 2001.
I remember the book.
Yeah, so she wrote a couple of books, and she and I are actually the same age. And so she was putting out books, and I was like, "Puh, I could write books." Okay, write books. Like, these people are doing it, right? Like, like, there were people out there who were close to my age putting out material, and I was just kind of insulted that, like, I wasn't part of this, because that's how, like, teenage pretension works.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm somewhat of an expert now as a teacher of 17-year-olds.
Yeah.
But anyway, I started writing a book, and it was just like how to do Wicca, right? Like one of those. And anyway, it was very condescending, and I bashed it out in probably like a week and a half. And I still have it, and it's terrible, and nobody will ever see it. but like, this book came out because it actually felt like I actually felt called to write it. It was the first time that I was able to sit down and write something of that length and that breadth without feeling like I was, I don't know, like pulling out organs or something. Like it just came pretty naturally.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. But that's the only book I am. I have this fantasy about publishing a series of short stories because I've never written fiction before until last year, and I started writing this YA novel because I really love YA, and I'm a high school teacher, right? So I felt like this gives me like some additional insight, whether or not that's actually true, into teenagers. So I'm writing this YA story kind of off and on, and it's cliche, right? It's about teenage girls discovering Wicca. But
nothing wrong with that.
Hell yeah. The kind of stuff that I love to read. So we'll see. I anticipate putting out all kinds of stuff for good or ill in the next couple of years.
That's great.
When I was a kid.
Yeah, okay. With both hands. I will.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, everybody thought I'd be a writer because I did a lot of writing as well. And then I realized I'm not a writer. I'm a talker. So I found out late in life, you're not really a writer, kiddo. I'm more of an essayist than a book writer.
Sure.
I can't do books. Yeah. But I like to talk. So I found my calling late in life. Thanks to my sister.
I was a late bloomer too, so I get that.
never too late
is right, but this book is awesome. I love it. This book is really great, and I have to highly recommend it. And I like what you say about, you know, dedication. And I like what you say about being a priestess. I love that because I didn't read the toilet. Wait a minute. Where's that?
I missed it. Cleaning toilets. It's been tweeted at me a couple of times, and it always makes me giggle that that's the thing people relate to.
Well, I mean, and I do relate to it in the sense of, you know, you talk about being having a baby witch come up to you. And I remember being the baby witch at 16 and saying, oh, I want to be initiated. I want to do this. And my mentor was like, no, you're not ready.
Yeah.
And it was 12 years of service until I got my initiation. 12 years. He wanted to make sure I was seriously serious, you know? And I love that you address that, because a lot of the time people want it to seem a little more glamorous than it actually is. So I like that. I mean, one of my jobs was fire. You keep the fire going all the time in the house. That was my job. That was one of my jobs. But I mean, I lived with my mentor, and I what he said I had to do, I had to do. And that was it. And it wasn't one of those crazy sex things either. It was like real work. I mean, because there, you know, a lot of people talk about sexual abuse in the pagan community. And I guess I
that's a hot topic right now, too.
Yeah. And I was lucky. I was never subjected to any of that. And I could have been, but I was in a very protected environment. So I count myself very, very lucky, because I have heard some pretty scary things. So,
But
I love what you address in the book and the way you address it, especially about being a priestess. And it's like, because my priestess has asked me previously, well, you know, don't you want to be an HPS one day? And I'm like, no, I have no interest. Zero interest. Zippo, it's too much responsibility. I know I'm not responsible enough. No, I do not envision myself as ever becoming an HPS for anybody, ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a big job. As far as the dedication and service, that's why, you know, it's popular right now to talk about witchcraft as not being religious. And my religious studies scholar brain could get in there and dissect that a whole lot, but I'll spare you. But there are lots of witches out there who identify as being non-religious, and that's cool. But for me, this is my religion, and I don't identify as like spiritual or whatever other words that people use. I'm religious. Reclaiming that word is really important to me. Reclaiming that word is really important to me because, especially in the South, when you tell somebody that you're religious, they immediately assume that you're like some kind of crazy Baptist and that you're backwards or something like that. But to me, it speaks to a particular level of dedication to my tradition. And like, that's what it's about. It's not about the other stuff. So like, service is the job of the high priestess. And I think that stuff gets glossed over in all of the shiny stuff.
It really does.
Don't get me wrong. I enjoy the shiny stuff. I'm part of a Wiccan tradition where, like, I get a crown and a sword. Okay, I'm all about that. But, I love shiny stuff. But kind of in popular conversation, this idea that, oh, like, witchcraft is whatever you want it to be, and it's about power, and it's about whatever. And, like, those things are true. But for me, it's also about service to a particular community and obligation to the gods that I serve. And I don't want
to
erase that.
Oh, me neither. And it's funny that you say that because when people ask me, I am, in fact, a very, very, very religious. I mean, people hear me curse and it's like, oh, you couldn't possibly be religious. No, no, no. I very much am extremely religious, and it's just not, you know, your acceptable version of religion, but I am probably the most religious person I know now next to you. I don't know, but I've always considered myself extremely religious.
It's funny, too, because
I love hearing that.
I was going to say, one of my good friends is an evangelical, and he and I bonded pretty quickly, and part of it was because we're members of different traditions, and we're members of traditions that, you know, historically don't get along. He says that he liked me right away because I had a religious brain, the way that he has a religious brain. We use a lot of the same language, and we understand each other on a level that a lot of non-religious people don't. So we just kind of had this bond really quickly because I get his weirdo Christian habits and he gets my weirdo Wiccan habits. You know? I was one of the few people who he could say, well, I have to do this because God told me to. And I'd go, okay, yeah, I get that. So I think even people, when they identify as being parts of particular traditions, right? Christianity in the South is a great example because here, like, everybody's Christian, but it's kind of nominal, right?
Yeah.
Like, most of them don't believe that, like, Jehovah is actually speaking to them and telling them to do things. That's not usually what people mean when they say that they're Christians. So there's still, like, a particular kind of mindset, and I think it transcends any individual tradition.
Yeah.
And with that, I'm drinking more wine.
Drink some more wine.
I am.
What kind?
It's a Cabernet.
Ooh,
oh, yummy.
I like really dry reds. Yeah.
Yep.
I like to kind of be in pain when I drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't handle sweet. Unless it's a tiki drink, like out of a coconut, I really just like the dry stuff.
Oh, yes. Me too. I'm exactly the same. I like my fruity cocktails, but then when it comes to wine, it's got to be dry and red.
Yep.
Love my red.
That's me.
Love my red. Gotta have some. I haven't had it. I mean, I'm not a real drinker, but I've been known to have a glass of Chianti or some kind of a dry red at some point. I don't like them too tannic, but I do like them dry.
Yeah, I like to be in pain with my booze.
I like to
make me feel alive.
You're hilarious.
So, have you heard about whiskey?
I have heard about whiskey.
Shit.
Yeah. So, actually, funny story. So my father, do you know what a Tennessee Squire is?
No.
You're Southern.
I've heard the term, but
a Tennessee Squire is the Jack Daniel's distillery in Kentucky. They have this program where you can buy a square inch of property on the Jack Daniel's distillery, and they call those people Tennessee Squires. And my father is a Tennessee Squire, and he's got this big-ass certificate on his wall that says that he owns a square inch on the Jack Daniel's distillery. And his favorite thing to do, whenever I go to visit them, they live in Huntsville, Alabama. I go to visit. Uh-huh. We drive out to Kentucky to the distillery, and he likes to stand over his square inch and go, "Someday, this will all be yours."
That's awesome.
Right? I know a few things about whiskey. And then if you hung out with Jason Mankey at all, eventually you will meet Ari, who in fact is, I think, the greater of the two Mankeys. Jason, forgive me, I love you, but we both know it's true. And Ari knows an amazing amount about whiskey, particularly Scotch whiskey. And so she has taught me a little bit and made me drunk on many occasions.
Nice.
So,
yes. I like her already.
I also appreciate whiskey. So,
very cool.
Yeah, I hear she ghostwrites Jason's books. I don't know.
Oh, cool.
No, I don't think
that's
true. It might be true.
That conversation. I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear that, Jason. I didn't hear that. She said nothing, Jason.
I don't know.
Don't worry.
And here we're. They're great, yeah. So all that to say, yes, whiskey.
Yay, whiskey.
Cool.
Yay, whiskey.
Yay.
I don't know. I smell whiskey and my head spins. I can't handle that really hard stuff.
Mm.
It's got to be mixed way down. It has to be a whisper, not a punch in my face. Thank you so much. I just
got
can't
it.
Handle it. I'm a
got it.
Big pussy. Big pussy.
Well, all right, if we're going to go there. No. I'm teasing.
So, Thorne, what else do you want to talk about?
Oh.
Door's open, chick.
The door is open. Good Lord. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so here's the thing I've been thinking about. Maybe you can help me.
Okay.
I realize that you're not Instagram users, but you're on social media, right? Like, you know how the internet works.
I do.
I'm obsessed right now with this idea of, like, the social media witch. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
No.
Okay, no. So, like, these folks are a lot of them are like fashion bloggers of some sort or the other, and they advertise themselves as witches, and some of them produce YouTube videos or have Instagram pages. A lot of them write books now, but here's the thing is they never write them for actual pagan presses. They write them for mainstream presses for the most part. And anyway,
yes.
if you get onto Amazon and you just like look at the book lists for like witchcraft and Wicca, The first, like, 20 best-selling books are not with Llewellyn and Wiser. They're with, like, Random House and Running Press and whatever, and they're all adorable little hardcover books that you can buy in, like, Urban Outfitters. And
oh, God.
And they purport to be about Wicca and witchcraft. And anyway, like, these are fucking everywhere. And I don't know always how I feel about it. Like, on the one hand, I think it's kind of awesome to, like, I like witch stuff. I want there to be more
right.
witch
yeah.
stuff. I'm happy when there's more
yeah.
witches for me to look at and interact with. But I also feel like it puts this, and this is me and my personal failings, I feel like it puts this particular kind of pressure on me to promote myself in a different way. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Oh, man, I should really, like, brush my hair before I post a YouTube video. You know?
I like your videos. I think your videos are cool as shit.
So my favorite comment that anybody has ever written about me anywhere ever appeared on Reddit several years ago, and somebody was posting to ask about, like, are there any good pagan YouTubers? And somebody replied that they really liked Drawing Kunaz, and that's my name. They really liked that Thorn Mooney girl because she's the only one out there who doesn't care what she looks like, and she just gets up there and her hair's all bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Right? But her videos are great. I was just like, cool.
Ouch, but thanks.
Thanks. Right.
See,
but you're not wrong. I mean, look at me.
No, I totally fucking disagree with that. No.
Oh, thanks.
No, not at fucking all. That is bullshit.
Oh,
you know,
so
I have. No, seriously.
I'm gonna say sometimes
I've seen...
Oh, no,
what?
We can do that thing where we talk over each other and then we don't know what we're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah,
you
sorry.
Go.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
No, but what I was going to say is I've seen a bunch of your videos. And I don't get that impression at all. First of all, you're beautiful with or without makeup, you lucky bitch. Yeah.
I'm going to send
yeah.
you pictures of the face rash I had last week.
Yeah. If I looked like you, I'd throw mine away. Shut up. That's number one.
No.
Yeah. You're beautiful, so stop. That's number one.
I just
number
called
two.
Into this podcast. So I can get complimented, guys.
Hardly.
My self-esteem is so low. Sorry.
All right, now you're just making fun of me. So,
no,
okay,
I'm
fine.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I appreciate it. It just makes me uncomfortable. I don't have to take compliments.
You're so funny. No, and that's that's a problem women have, period, about taking compliments.
Yes.
And bitches, we need to get over that shit. Take the fucking compliment.
Okay. Oh, okay. I will.
Yeah.
No,
so, like, you get on Instagram or some of these other social media sites, and I'm like, oh, man, like, do I need to be a fashion blogger to sell books? Because that's not going to work out real well.
No, because that's a trend that I noticed that starting to spike. With the season of American Horror Story, Coven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I noticed they started popping up with, like, the 90s outfits with, you know, the black dresses with the knee-high socks mm-hmm. or stockings. You know, it's like, oh, yeah,
the
I used to wear
Nick
that
thing.
Shit.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Exactly.
The reality look, I call it.
Yeah. It's become, you know, a weird combination of an aesthetic, and I think it's either going to die out, you know, as a trend, or it will bring people to the path who need to be here. You know, either way, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, don't go messing with too much. You know, I do worry about what they put in those books. I've never read one, you know, because sometimes that shit can be dangerous, and you don't want to encourage that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I don't know.
By and large, I tend to be positive about that stuff. just because, I mean, realistically, if it hadn't been for witches in pop culture, I wouldn't have found Wicca. It was the mid-90s, right? Like, I joined Wicca as part of a spike in, like, witch shit on TV. Like, let's be real. I'm not special in that regard. That's a thing that people do. So in that sense, it's really exciting. It only makes me nervous, like, as, I guess, as an author, as a writer, as somebody who's trying to, like, I don't know, like, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I'm simultaneously fascinated by it and, like, kind of horrified, but also just, I'm enthralled.
Yeah.
So I've read a lot of
these
books. And by and large, it's really kind of, it's pretty tame, right? It's a lot of, like, rehashed stuff. But I think it says something that a lot of pagan publishers, like, aren't getting in on that trend, and that has to be conscious. Like, these people at Llewellyn and Wiser, like, they're smart. They have marketing backgrounds. They know what they're doing. And they're choosing not to jump on this bandwagon, which I think says something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll dissipate. It will.
You know, everything fades with time. Real doesn't. And being real is so much more important than being, I mean, that's just part of it. The other thing is, you know, again, with fashion and people feeling like less than because they don't look like a model in a magazine, you don't want to fall into these trappings because these things are bullshit. It's about the person, you know, some of the greatest pagans I know are not the most beautiful, you know, but they are deeply into their craft and deeply caring about community and want to do good in the world. And those are the things that last, the things that leave a legacy, and the people that are able to leave a legacy of something real, not just rehashed pablum. I'm sorry. I've seen a lot of these authors. I've read some of these things, and while I appreciate the thought behind doing good press and, you know, wanting to look a certain way, there's a limit. I mean, should we all take care of ourselves? Absolutely. Should we all try to put our best foot forward? Absolutely. But if I have to emulate a certain kind of a look, I'm doomed.
Yeah.
And so is everybody else, okay? Don't ever feel like you have to change who you are to sell books. The quality of the writing speaks for itself, you know, no matter who it is. Yeah, but it's true no matter who it is, no matter who we're discussing. If there's quality there, then that person will sell books and be followed. If it's a pretty face with nothing behind it, people are going to figure that out, and it's not going to take them all that long, which is why you have such an influx. You know, it's not like one or two people. It's tons and tons and tons of people. I remember the days where all you had was Pat Crowley writing or, you know, Finding Sybil Leek's books or, you know, anything like that. There was a time in the not-so-distant past where our selections were really limited. Now, it's like there's 9,000 books on one damn topic, and you don't know who to believe. But like I said, when the writing is of good quality, that's the stuff that lasts. That's the stuff that turns into a Buckland's Blue Book or, you know, for the next generation. So, I would never encourage you to change anything. You're perfect just like you are.
Cool. Thank you. I will not be brushing my hair.
There you go.
No, now you know you got to brush your hair. Your hair is long and it could get matted. You got to brush the hair.
That's true.
Just for safety's
sake. I get what my
mother
calls rat nests.
I have.
In your hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I cut all my hair off since last time I saw you.
Oh, did you?
Girl, it's short now.
Okay.
I mean, it's still to my shoulder, but it's
I mean, it was longer when you met me. So
it's cute.
It's more burgundy and shorter. Yeah, because I can't stand dealing with my hair. It's a pain in my ass.
Okay, I'm down.
So I get you. And honestly, there have been mornings where I didn't brush it because it's short now, and all I have to do is run my fingers through it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I got. Anything you want? Anything else you got on your mind?
Yeah. So are you doing any more? Are you going to be doing any traveling?
Yes. So I am booked for PantheaCon in February. I will be at PantheaCon. And I have submitted Mystic South. So my friend at Mystic South, please accept my shit so that I can come and say words at you. And I would like that. So
I would like that too. I would like that very much.
So that's my plan. We'll see how that goes. I've never been to Mystic South, but hopefully they
will be nice enough to
let me say words to them.
I'll tell you what, it's going into its third year, and it's a great conference, and we always do a show live from there, and it's a lot of fun. So I hope you go. Definitely. It's definitely a good scene. We enjoyed it a lot.
And a heads up, you will need to brush your hair because they usually videotape us.
Sweet. I'll brush my hair. I'll even wash.
There you go. I'll brush mine too, I promise.
Cool.
Yeah, me too. All right.
Yeah.
Fine.
So that's
all I've got
definitively. But there's lots of places I'd like to get to. I've got one of my goals is to make it out to the Northeast at some point, just because I really want to go to Salem really badly. But it's hard with a teacher's schedule because I got to work around that. So summers is mostly when I do my travel.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and we're about at 7 minutes, but I did want to get this in, and while it's on my mind, thank you for being a teacher. You guys don't get enough credit.
Thank you.
I really admire teachers, and we need more of y'all. And they need to start paying y'all. You know.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. But thank
you. It's really hard. The kids are old kids. It's funny whenever I come home and I'm just like bitching about my job, which is a lot. It's never.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Kids. It's never ever because of the kids.
Yeah, it's administrative stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's bureaucracy like anything else. You know, you got grown-ups everywhere you go. Grown-ups suck.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
But it definitely takes a special person to not only be a priestess but to be a teacher, because they're both the same thing in a lot of regards. And it's a hard-ass job. You've taken on a lot. I admire that. I couldn't do it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It took me a long time to kind of figure this stuff out, so here I am. Send me your children. Well, you know,
I've got a 12-year-old.
This is actually a little bit easier than building a gingerbread house. We'll just get a teaching license.
Yes.
Oh man, I don't know how you do it. Actually, I really don't. I don't have the patience that's necessary for either of the two jobs, and you do both.
Yeah,
hell no.
I drink a fair bit. So there's that.
I don't blame you.
Not at all. So, Thorn, you want to give any shout-outs while you're on the air?
Well, I've already said something scathing about Jason Mankey, who I love. Congratulations to my friend who got accepted to med school, who I won't name because, you know, med school. But yay, pagan doctors.
Yay, pagan doctors.
I don't know.
If you're in Charlotte and you want to swing swords, you should come swing swords with me and my sword club, Swordwind. You can find us at swordwind.org, and we're pretty rad. So my North Carolinian friends who were feeling particularly violent, come check me out and check us out. Mm-hmm. That's really
can
it.
Can we bring our own
sword? Thanks. No, we got
your kind of sword.
You. That's all right. We'll teach you. Long
really?
Swords in, yeah, in a German tradition. We also teach Italian side swords. So you can be Brienne of Tarth or Arya.
Awesome.
So
is it FCA related?
No, we are HEMA, Historical European Martial Arts. We're actually a contemporary sport based on medieval manuscripts. So we're not reenactors. We're actually like modern people. We just really enjoy beating each other with swords.
Yes!
As one does.
Really
cool.
I love it!
Yeah.
That's
swords and blades
thank
are my
you.
Favorite.
Yeah, so thank you also to my tradition for not ridiculing me. I appreciate that. I was really worried about being thrown out after publishing a book, but so far that hasn't happened, so that's great. Yeah, I think that's my shout out. Shout out to the Corvus, who is the greatest person in the world. She has, she's got a piece in my book. She was one of my first initiates. My other was Lore. Shout out to Foxfire in general. Y'all are rad. Thanks for letting me ruin your lives with my witchcraft and my craziness that you have to deal with. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Anybody you want to shout out to? Like, this feels weird now.
Oh, not at all. I give my shout out to the beginning of the show before you even get here.
Okay, yeah, this one's for my mom. Please don't ever read anything I write because that would be embarrassing.
Wow.
And we're too, like, waspy to talk about stuff, so please don't.
Wow. I understand.
Yeah.
I get it.
I think that's about
it. I get it.
Yeah. Shout out to my fiance. I have a fiance. Thanks for not breaking up with me because I'm weird. I could keep going. Should I keep
my
going?
Fiance.
7 minutes up yet?
No. We're about down to two.
Okay. Yeah.
We didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the Academy for supporting me.
You like me.
Yep.
You really like me.
You really like me. Yeah. What the hell else? I don't know.
Trip. You don't have to do anymore. It was just an offer of did you want to say hello to anybody? No big deal. No worries. No pressure. No, it's really. We don't have to stretch for time. You're cool. No worries.
Thank you, Charlotte, for mostly voting correctly. I appreciated that this past election.
Yes.
I
it was nice to see a little blue speck in the middle of a red state.
No joke.
Absolutely.
For real, right?
Yeah, it's like I constantly have to be reminded when you look around in Charlotte, most of those people voted the same way we did. That's a pretty cool thing. Now, talk about the rest of the state, but we can at least feel somewhat comfortable in places like Noda and Uptown, and there are various places.
Well, by and large, the rest of Charlotte. I mean, you think about it, like Charlotte is a predominantly black city, and like white people are the ones voting wrong.
Yep. Pretty much.
Let's be real.
And then there's that. Yeah.
And
oh my God,
that.
You're a riot.
And on that note.
All right.
Thanks
you.
For having me.
Thanks for being
thanks
had.
For being had. Always being had. Great.
All right. We'll book your next appointment after the show.
Sweet.
Yeah. And,
okay.
And we need
so
to come play
coming.
With swords.
Oh, do it. Please.
Yes. Okay. That would be fun, actually. I think I'd like that.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to go play with swords.
I could hurt myself. All right. We'll go play with
that's
swords.
That's okay. I'll hurt you for you. No, I'm just kidding. All right. We're going to hit you up later.
Woohoo.
I'll talk to you in a little while more.
Thank you so much for coming on, and we're definitely looking forward to the next time. And we got to go do coffee sometime when you're not wrangling children.
Thanksgiving break is coming up.
Yay!
Yes, it is.
Do it.
All right. Thor Mooney, you're fantastic. Thank you again. The book is Traditional Wicca, A Seeker's Guide. Go get yourself a copy. You won't be sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Click on the link in the episode description. It'll take you right to it.
Thorn Mooney, you're awesome. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Right.
You too. Let's
we'll
talk
to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, she's fantastic.
You know you gotta love. Yeah, she's. I. You know what? I love her. She just cracks me up, and she's so
yeah.
smart. It's scary. I'm afraid of her. She may swing a sword at me. I might be fucked in this deal. I don't know.
Well, I'll protect you.
Yeah, who's going to protect you?
I'll duck and run.
Okay. There you go. Duck, run, and roll. All right, babe, close us
all
out
right.
for the night.
All right, guys. Thank you all for coming. Thank you to our guest. You all have a happy Thanksgiving. If you are going out on Black Friday, please be careful. Stand maybe toward the back of the line if you can. You don't have to be in the front because that's where you get trampled. Anyway,
yeah.
Stay safe.
Better yet, don't
and
go.
Exactly. Shop at home, you know, and to all the employees that have to work on Thanksgiving or the day after, we salute you. We're sorry. We love you. And
we love you, California.
Yes, we love you guys. Be safe. And we'll see you the week after next with Miss Byron. Love you guys.
Yes, Byron Ballard. Good night, everybody.
Night.